Hey guys, this is Just Three Girls Loving Jesus. My name is Savannah.
My name is Evelyn.
And my name is Nikki.
And today we are starting a new series. This first episode is going to be called In the In Between.
Oh, I like it.
So, what do y'all? We'll just start off and go ahead and go in. What do y'all think is the in between? How would y'all describe that?
That's a good point. I don't know. Like, I felt whenever I had got that, whenever the Lord had, like, downloaded that into me, I was like, oh, okay, in the in-between. Like, it's a weird little phrase, but okay. I feel like that's, like, spiritually, like, whenever people see, like, they see other people and they want that. But they also want to be of the, like, they want to be with Jesus as well. But as you know, we can't have both.
Yeah.
You have to pick a side.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be in the world, but at the same time, you know the Lord has called you to not be in the world. I don't know. I felt like when you said the in-between, I had to ask myself, I was like, what did I feel like when I was in the in-between? Because, like, Nikki, you had made a point, like, we always go back and forth to the in-between.
Always.
And it's a
battle.
I mean, it's honestly, that's just life. Like, you're not gonna ever be this perfect Christian.
Yeah.
And I like that point that you said, but I had to think about it. I was just like, what does it mean in the in-between? Like, how did I feel when I was in the in-between? And I know, like, personally, I remember, because okay, when I thought of the in-between, it's a tongue twister.
It is.
when I thought about the in the in-between, when I thought about the between phase, I remember, like, what came to mind was, like, when I was younger and when I was a fresh Christian and when I was, I think I was probably in high school, and I remember I knew I was having fun, but at the same time, every single day I woke up, I just felt this ugly conviction. Like, I was like, you need to get your act together. But at the same time, I was like, no, I don't care. I'm gonna do what I want to do because it's fun. And I was having fun, and I remember, I just remember that conviction and just knowing I was hurting the Lord so much.
Yeah.
And knowing that I was hurting the Lord, it was hurting me. So I just felt like I stayed in the between for so long, and it pulled me so far away from the Lord. What's the time y'all are in the between?
I think
I'm gonna call it the between. It's too
it's the in-between.
The in-between.
I think for me too, it was like very early on when I came to Christ, and like I knew the goodness of the Lord from other people, but I didn't have that relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew that He was a God of a healer, and He was like a friend, but for me, He wasn't. He was just somebody like I knew. Oh, like He did this for such and so and so, but I didn't know Him personally.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that conviction like you said you did.
I was jealous of other people. Like, you say that, like, you would see, like, you knew what He was. I was my own problem, because I was just assuming, I was like, man, like, look at this person. I've been doing this for years, and look at this person. Like, they just found the Lord, and they're already 10 times further ahead of me. And I would kind of get jealous. Like, I'd get upset. I'd be like, bro, like, why? Like, why can't I be there? But I was my own problem. Like, I was the one that was making myself stay in the in-between. And it was because my own desires that I had, and I was a struggle. I was my own problem personally, but I always had a hard time, like, with that. I struggled. I was just like, why? Like, why are they doing this, but I can't get there? Like, that's just how I felt when I was in the in between.
I think the in between is like a little bit different. I like how everybody is, but like, I will say, guys, Evelyn did really good notes on going in the in-between, and like something had caught my attention, and it kind of went back. It's kind of like she put like on the fence, or when you go look it up, it's or straddling the fence. And in the Bible, straddling the fence refers to a concept known as double-mindedness. It is a warning against trying to serve two masters, such as God and the world. Double-mindedness occurs when a person claims to follow God, but also indulges in worldly desires and behaviors. And I feel like that kind of hit home too to me, because there was a time when I first came to Christ, and I was like, okay, I'm new at this, and that's cool, and I'm running to Him, and I see everybody else doing it. But I still had my foot. It's kind of like me sitting on top of the fence, and I had one leg out with the kingdom, and I had the other one with the world, and I was in between, but just straddling the fence, and I was still trying to like, trying to play church, because I'm trying to look like I'm this goody-goody, but still have that foot in the world where I'm hanging out with those friends I'm not supposed to be doing, I'm listening to the music I'm not supposed to be listening to, I'm watching shows that I know I'm not supposed to be doing, or saying the language I shouldn't be saying. And I think sometimes when you're in that in-between, I think, you know, we have to sit and we have to decide what we're going to do and how we're going to handle it ourselves. And nobody can force us to do it. We're going to have to do it. We're going to have to choose, is my foot going to jump on the other side and I'm going straight into the kingdom running? Or am I going to be like, I can't do this. I'm going to have to throw it over. I'm going to go back to the world. And I think a lot of times people do that and they go back to the world because, I mean, let's be honest and let's be transparent while we're sitting here. Sometimes when our prayers don't get unanswered, we get upset and we try to question the Lord and we're like, hey, why didn't I get an answer? Or we're ashamed of the stuff that we've done. So it's easier for us to be like, well, is he ever going to forgive us? I might as well just go this way and not stay here.
Yeah.
You know, or our insecurities, jealousies, things like that start coming in, our doubts and our worries. And we have to understand that we have a God that loves us so much that he's already forgiven everything that we've done. And it's crazy because I do have a Bible verse on that, and it's something I was looking it up, but it's in 1 John 2, and it says, I am writing to you, our God's children, because your sin has been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you who are mature in faith, because you know Christ who exists from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith, because you have won your battle with the evil one. And I like that because he's saying you've already won it. It's already done. Even if you're young in faith, I'm reassuring you that it's over. It's done. And then he goes on and it says, I have written to you who God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who exists from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's words live in your hearts. And you have won the battle with the evil one. And he reassures you in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so great to know that there's reassurance saying, don't be ashamed. Come to me. Like, I love you. Don't worry about it. And even it talks about the mature ones in there. Hey, you already know me. You know the existence from the beginning. You already knew. You know, don't go back to what I've already forgiven you and saved you from.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from it. And I think a lot of times when people become straddling that fence or becoming in the in-between, I think they just get scared sometimes.
Yeah, because they have to fully trust in the Lord.
Yeah, and that's hard when you have to trust something. It's kind of like when they say, you hear, you know, non-believers say, but you can't see God. You know, but you can't see air either when you're breathing it.
Yeah.
He's still here. He's still around us. And I feel like people have to understand there's going to be a time where we're going to have to choose. It's going to be choosing with God as our master, our Lord and Savior, or it's we're going to be choosing the world and we're going to have to go from there.
Well, actually, I like that you bring that up. What is it? Because I think I told you earlier, but I was doing my Bible plan this morning, and one of the devotions was about, like, it had this quote. It's kind of like statistics, but not really. But it said, after about 2 weeks of following him, talking about God, it's not hard to realize that God has not called us to happiness necessarily, but to obedience.
Yeah,
that's good.
And I like that because I was like, you know, you're talking about like, yeah, we have to do two choices. Are we going to live for the world or are we going to listen to what the Lord says?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some of us are just so stubborn because the in-between is just easier than living a life for the Lord because it's not going to be called to happiness. But at the same time, I also feel like we talk about it all the time. What we say brings life or death. Like, there is life or death in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
And I feel like when you feel like giving up, you just have to, like, speak life over yourself. And, like, it just reminds me, because we say this all the time. It's Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I don't think we realize how much power that really has. And, like, you don't realize it until maybe weeks or years. Like,
yeah.
You're saying, you can recall that time when you're like, well, I said I can do all things through Christ, and look, I was struggling there, but the Lord brought me through it.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like a lot of that struggle is during that in between when you don't know where to go, but at the same time you have like the Lord in your head, in the right side of your ear, and then you have that enemy on your left side of the ear that's like, oh, go do this, go do that, but then you're like, no, you shouldn't be doing that. And yeah. I just feel like it's a constant argument. But I feel like also like when you're feeling like you're getting that argument and you're just like, man, it's so much easier just to go to this way. Like, you have to speak life over yourself. Like, I can do all things through Christ. Even though it's hard, I can do this through Christ because the Lord gives me strength. I don't live by my own strength. I live by the Lord's strength.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, like, I just, I liked how you said that because when I read that quote, I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, it's all fun and great when you first get saved and it's like, oh, I want to do all of this and I want to do all of that.
It's like
yeah, like 2 weeks, I'm just like, girl, energy. I'm tired.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it is.
Lord, this is some hard work. This is not fun. But then I'm like, the Lord didn't call us to a fun life. He called us to a life to live for Him, to represent Him well.
To live a right life.
Yeah, a righteous life.
Yeah, yeah. I like it because when you do look in on, if you ever, anybody goes and you're looking up and you just, any information that we get, we Google it. We're like, where does the Lord talk about?
There ain't no shame in Google.
There's nothing shame because it helps you and you get deep in the Bible. And then by the time you get in the Bible, you already went so deep. You've already read like, a whole bunch of pages going through and you're
no
getting
shame
to know
in
it.
My game, I'm a firm believer in
but me. I feel like another verse that I really like that kind of hits, like it really does, and it's basically telling you in black and white right here when I'm reading it. It says 1 John 2:15-17, and it's the NLT version if you want to look it up. But it says, do not love the world nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving of physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. They are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave, but everyone who does what pleases God will live forever.
Literally. Physical cravings.
Yes. And I feel like I don't know to anybody else that's listening to this podcast or, you know, you just hear that Bible verse, that basically, like, slaps you in the face.
Yeah.
Because he's telling you.
Like, do not do this.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, plain print, do not do this.
He basically gave you a warning. He's like, he's giving you, he's trying to tell you, like, you're just doing it for physical pleasure and that's what the world's going to give you. Like,
physical pleasure doesn't last.
No.
It's only temporary. Your soul is going to be hurting.
But having God with you and live within you forever, that's eternity.
Peace.
Like, it's forever. It's joy. It's His joy. Not the world's joy of you buying you, like, a nice bag or cute shoes.
That's happiness.
That's happiness. And that fades away really fast.
I would take peace over happiness any day because peace is
just... All day.
It's just... I don't know how to explain it. Peace is just peace. Like, I'd rather feel peace and joy than be sitting here stressed out, like, Lord, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do?
Yes.
Here? Man, I'll take peace.
And I feel like I think I was telling Savannah before Evelyn had walked in, because, you know, it is Sunday. Y'all hear this on Wednesday, but this is Sunday. And, you know, Evelyn, before she came in into church, I was telling Savannah, the world is like a, or maybe I was telling Evelyn, I was telling somebody, you know, you get up in age, you forget. But anyway, somebody.
She's not that old.
But the world is like a good car salesman. It knows how to show you he knows how to show you the bells and the whistles for the vehicle, and you buy the vehicle and you buy everything with it. Like, he's like, buy this, buy that, get this, this looks pretty, that's great,
and then it screws you over the day because you have that payment.
And then when you gotta do the payment, but when you drive off the lot, there's no value to the vehicle anymore. It's done.
That would make no type of sense to me. I ain't gonna lie to you. What?
Like it's kind of gone. Like,
Google it later.
Yeah, Google it.
No, explain. No, but it's like, what if they're confused?
But it's like you have no value with the world, but with God you'll have all the value. Like, the enemy can sell you so much, but at the end of the day,
not what the Lord gave you.
Yes.
It's what the other people wanted to add on. Okay, I got you now. Okay. If y'all confused.
Explain it.
The truck is from the Lord, but all the accessories that are not needed is from the enemy, is what she's saying. Okay, I was a little confused. If y'all are confused like me, there you go. Because I was like, what are y'all talking about?
Keep your volume.
Let me dumb it down from my type of vibe.
There you go.
Okay, so going back, like, what had you said?
What you had said.
Thanks, sister.
I'm gonna give another
twister.
Is it like an analogy or?
Yeah, analogy. Analogy.
Like
that's a big word.
So on the fence, you're like wanting to pursue Jesus, but tempted to give up because the grass on the other side looks greener or easier. So
greener,
I mean,
sounds better.
Or like easier. So I don't know if y'all have ever had like thoughts or feelings, and y'all see other people's either prayers being answered, or they have this and this and that, and you still don't have that.
Yep.
Like, just know, like, you're on a different path than they are.
Yeah.
And then also, like, maybe you don't even need that. Like, that is not for you. And what I want to, the scripture that I wanted to talk about, it goes hand in hand on what Nikki was talking about. It's in, or, hold on.
I wish I could see your lips moving right now. You're going so fast. They're like,
hold on, I got a little ahead of myself. Before I get into the scripture.
She got excited about the car salesman.
Yeah.
You know, it not being value anymore. And Savannah had to dumb it down.
Because I was confused.
Like, I was coming with it. Like, the Lord had something in my head. But you...
I understand.
Okay, anyways. And she's going to have a lot of cutting out.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
Okay, so the people of the world, they have everything, in quotations, everything they want. Without Jesus, you will always be thirsty. But with Jesus, he is the living water, you will never be thirsty. So, I'm going to go ahead and pull up the scripture.
Okay. Get it, girl.
Doo-doo-doo.
Stop. It's in chapter... Oh, it's in verse...
What book is it in, though?
It's in book... Oh my gosh, I can't with you.
Keep it in.
It's
this is the fun stuff when you're talking about the Lord. You have the best time when you're with the Lord.
You have a lot of gibberish.
Yes, yeah, it's a great time with the Lord.
Okay, it's going to be in John chapter 4, verse 14.
I'd be loving me some John. Chapter, book of John.
But whoever.
I'd be loving you some Andrew.
But whoever.
Book of John is good. Sorry.
But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life.
Ooh,
period.
I like it.
Period.
That's nice.
Yes. Yeah, so you don't have to, when you thirst, Jesus is going to provide that water for you.
Yes. And it's not going to be normal water, it's going to be living water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, what is it? I was going to try to have a cool little transition into what I was going to say, but I don't know. It's not going
to.
We'll
go with it. Try to roll with it.
Okay. The Lord kind of gave me a little point because we're talking about, like, the in-between and all the struggles of it and how it's hard and how on the other side of the fence it looks easier and how it's greener on the other side, the easy side.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of how wide is the path to hell, narrow is the path to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But what really comes to mind is we learned a while back, like, you have the authority to tell things to go. You have the power because the Holy Spirit lives within you.
Yeah.
And since the Holy Spirit lives within you, all you have to say is in Jesus' name, like, you have to go. Like, no spirit but the Holy Spirit. And it reminds me, like, of Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And I'm going to read the New King James Version because I got some soul to me. It says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And when it says serpents and scorpions, it's not literal serpents and scorpions.
Mm-hmm.
It means, like, I give you power over every spirit that's not of me. I give you power over every demonic thing that is in your life, over any depression, over any anxiety, over any stress, anything like that. Like, all you have to say is in the name of Jesus, you have to go, and they have to listen, because just at the mention of Jesus' name, they flee, they run. So I'm like, you have the authority to go. I understand, like, it's easier said than done, and it's hard to understand that, but I didn't realize how powerful it is when you just take authority over it, because when you don't take authority, you're just letting the enemy in, you're just letting the enemy win. And why are you going to suffer and struggle through that in-between time when all you have to say is in Jesus' name, you have to go? Like, you have no place here, you don't have any right here. Like, I'm a child of the highest king. Like, you can't touch me because I'm the Lord's child. I'm not your child. Like, I may live on this world, but that doesn't mean you have any power over me.
Yeah.
And I find that very encouraging, because, again, when you're in the in-between, you don't realize that you have that power. But I feel like it's good to be reminded, like, hey, I can take authority over this, and I don't have to walk through this shame and through this conviction, or not conviction, because conviction is a good thing, through this condemnation, because condemnation is not from the Lord. And we were saying earlier, like, a lot of people struggle with the shame, and a lot of people struggle with letting it go, and I'm just like,
or like, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you go ahead.
Or like letting it go, but then picking it back
up. Yes, I struggle with it myself. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm like, I'll slip up. I won't read my word, or I'll do something I wasn't supposed to do, and I'm like, oh, and like I can't forgive myself.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if the Lord forgives me and I repented of it, the Lord already forgot it. So it's really just us bringing it back.
It's our flesh.
Again.
Yeah.
That's why we say we have to kill our flesh every day. We have to pick up our cross and walk with them. And I think it's funny, like, you talk about the anxiety stuff, because it, like, the Lord just brings me back. Like, he always shows me, like, the goodness of what he's done for me. And I think we kind of take that for granted. We don't thank him or love on him with the prayers that he's already answered already.
We just focus on, like, what he has given us, instead of focus on what we already have.
Like, let's think about it now. Like, I prayed since I was a teenager for a great husband, a loving husband, like Andrew. Like, I'm praying. I want him to love the Lord. I want him to love me as much as I love him. All this other
that
stuff.
That man's obsessed. Well, he's not obsessed. I cannot say that.
No.
But he's very loving.
Yes. And then the Lord gives him to me. But then I complain, well, this prayer didn't get answered. And I should be like, thank you, God, for giving me the husband that I prayed for since I was a teenager.
Really,
you know?
Call me out.
Like, we don't see what he's already done ahead of time already. Like, he's already answered the prayers that we were already praying for 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and he's already done it. And then we're selfish, and we're like, you haven't done this yet. And he's all like, but look what I've done for you already. Can you just celebrate what we've done already? You're supposed to glorify him and give him the glory and everything for what he's done for us already. And I think some people don't see that. And another thing is, it's funny that she talks about, when she talked about anxiety and the authority, a lot of people don't know, and some people do, that I did suffer from anxiety and depression for a good while, and I needed to give it up to the Lord. Now, there was one time during service, and I went and I got prayed over, and I let it all out and let it go, and I end up picking it back up without kind of knowing I picked it back up again. And I remember I was sitting in my car, and it was 19-year-old Savannah, and she was...
Oh, come back. I was a whole different person, y'all. Y'all don't even know. I was mean.
It was young. I was maybe 18.
I was 18 because I was barely... First year of being a youth leader.
Yeah, I remember we were leaving. We were going to Chick-fil-A, and I was in this mopey, depressed stage. I was
tired of it, man. Yes. Let me tell you, I was just there like a
Get good friends that hold you accountable. Can I say this and be strong on it? Get friends that are going to hold you accountable and help you with the Lord and follow him and just provide everything. But anyways, she was sitting back, and I was having one of my moods and just letting the enemy get to me. And I remember she just came. I have a 2-seater Honda Civic. And she kind of like came on that side, like she came like with the seatbelt on that,
popped up.
And she snuck up on the side of my ear, and she was like, "What do you gain out of it holding it? Like, what do you win?"
I was bold.
Yeah, she was very bold and upfront, and it's so funny because I felt like a kid throwing a tantrum.
She was,
and I have my arms
she was
crossed,
a kid.
And then I'm thinking like, she's right. What do I win holding this? What am I getting? What is the prize of keeping this? When the Lord has already said, I've forgiven you, and it's already done. Like, you need to throw it away, and I'm over here holding on to it. So I remember that following Sunday came back around, and I went up for prayer again. I have no shame in my game for prayer. I want to get prayed for everything. And I went up there, and I got prayed over again. And this time, the person that was praying over me, she was like, we're going to let it go, and we're going to let it all out, and we're not bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And it's so funny because only God knows that. Because only God knows that I had picked it up. And I went up there and I let it all out. I did the ugly cry. Everybody knows the ugly cry with mascara coming down your face and you look like a raccoon when you're coming back up to your seat.
You look goofy.
And I felt so much at peace just giving it to him. And that's when I said, you know what? I can't sit on this fence anymore and straddle to be with the world and be with God, because God is just too good to just keep dangling on one side. Is it going to be easy? No, you don't get a bumper sticker and say congratulations, you're saved, everything's going to be rainbows and butterflies.
That would be funny though, if it did. Like, I would laugh about that.
But to be next to him and side by side every day with him and get it into your calendars. And I think this is important, and I know our pastors will continue to preach on this and everything. Get into your daily encounters with him. And it's not a 10-second encounter. It is until you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit fill up the whole room and take over where you can't breathe, and it feels so overwhelming and so good and so much joy that he just consumes everything.
I want to add on to that. Yeah. Before I don't want to interrupt you, but
no.
When you say like your daily encounters and you say like what it's supposed to be like, I totally agree with you how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Until you feel his presence, because I don't think it's considered any time, because it's called encountering him, not just daily praying.
Hey Lord, thank you for everything.
Yeah, it's not that. Like, I feel like you have to feel his presence. And everybody's presence is different. Like, some people get goosebumps, some people cry, some people laugh, it's whatever. But one thing I will take, and I'm only saying this because I feel like maybe there's some of y'all that might have struggled with the same thing I have. My pastor, she said, it's not about how much time you spend with him. It's about the quality of time you spend with him.
That's good.
And my love language is quality time. So it just kind of makes me feel good to know, like, the Lord has the same love language as me. Like, he likes to spend time with me. He likes to talk to me. He likes to hear what I have to say. And I just want to say, like, yes, you need to feel his presence. But at the same time, it's not about spending hours and hours and hours. Mm-hmm. It's about spending quality time with him. And for some people, that might just be 30 minutes. Yeah. For some people, it might be 15. Some people, it might be 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree with what Nikki said. It does need to be a daily encounter, like a physical, like not physical, you know. Well, however you feel the Lord, you feel the Lord. But don't stress about it has to be set amount of time that you need.
Yeah. And that's why it's called, like, personal encounters, because what works for you...
Everybody's different.
Yeah, exactly. What works for you doesn't work for me.
We went to a conference. I'm gonna let you get back to what you're saying.
No, you're good. Go.
We learned. Okay, so we had went to this conference a while back. It was Mercy Culture. If you ever go to a Mercy Culture conference, do it because it's the best.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, they have this like platform thing. It's not like a platform for us, like for guests, but it's just like a little quiz you can take, and it like tells you how you connect with God. And like for me, it was solitude. Worship and like admiration. So like for me, when I get with my daily encounters, I do better when I'm worshiping him or I'm singing to him, like I'm adoring him. Oh, and I'm like saying like, Lord, you are good, Lord, you're doing this. But I hear him better when it's quiet, because when I have a song playing in the background, I just can't focus like that. I can't function. Yeah. But I have to get quiet, like silence, and just by myself. Like, I can't, not saying like I'm ashamed to worship the Lord like in front of people, but like I have to get in my secret place. Like, I can't do it with everybody around me. Like, I can worship the Lord, but I'm really gonna hear best from him when I'm by myself alone in my room, because that's my secret place.
Yeah.
But like, everybody's different. So like, I just wanna encourage y'all, like, figure out how you best get with the Lord. If it's reading your word, some people get better through learning. But just don't stress about the amount of time that you're spending with him. It's about the quality of time you're spending with him. Are you really taking time to listen to him, to talk to him, and to love him?
So, and are you giving him your heart too?
Yes. That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to get that point. No, I feel like some people struggle and they're like, oh, I gotta spend this amount. No,
you know,
it's not.
When I first came to Calgary, I was thinking, like, encounters, you gotta be, like, 5 hours in your face.
Yeah, I'm doing that, okay? Because like, I'm gonna be, like, Lord, I'm bored.
Like, I was like, I'm not giving enough. I bet you everybody's doing, like, 5 hours, and they're, like, in the face. And,
that's what I'm
and
saying.
And they're screaming. And
I can't
like,
do all that.
And you know, they tell you, no, you do it the way you do it with the Lord and how you praise and worship him. And then, like you say, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 15, it could be 30, it could be up to 3 hours, 4 hours. And I know there's some hardcore prayers that can just pray down the house and just continue to pray. And, you know, that's something that I've been praying for.
Honestly,
like, I want to be able to pray, like...
Honestly, though, for me, like, my daily encounters look like I worship a little bit. I can't do praise, okay? Some people can do praise.
I
can't.
Love praise.
I can't. That's not me. I'm a slow worship, sentimental. No.
I'm
an intimate person. Like, so for me, it's like I do a little couple slow songs, get my crying, feel the Lord's presence. And then I'll sit down, like, I'll literally sit on the floor, and I'll just have my, or I'll, like, bow my knees,
yeah,
do my thing, and then I always end it with reading the word, because I always feel like the Lord's like, read your word.
But I, but I think reading your word is, like, to me, I know praise and worship is important.
It's every answer.
But reading, reading your word is how you're going to fight your battles.
Yeah.
With it's the sword of the Spirit. What you
do. Yes. Like, it's living words that's coming out. It's going to help you and guide you through your day and situations. It's there to help you.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't need it that moment, but you'll remember that verse in the moment where you're going through something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, when you're on that fence and you're like, man, I want God, but the world keeps holding on to me, can I just say, just get in your word, man.
Yeah.
Just get into your word and just sit there. I think I was getting, when I was getting into the word, especially studying, you know, straddling the fence, First John had a lot of stuff, and I will say it basically talked about everything that's about to go down. It prepares you about the world and the desires and not to go for it, you know. It talks about a lot of things, and I think once I like was looking up scriptures, and then I was like, I was getting in deep into it. I was like, well, let me read from the beginning, let me get into this. Well, I didn't know about this, or I wasn't really looking at that, or I didn't think I was doing that. You know, because you got to think about it. I think, you know, some of us have to be real with ourselves and be like, am I actually doing what I need to do? Or is it for show? Like,
you know, Pastor O says it's a discipline before it's a delight. And that's facts, because I struggle, okay? I used to, like, I highly dislike reading the works. I hate reading. I don't like reading books. I don't like listening to it either.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to watch no sermons.
Guys, I know y'all probably hear her now. You're like, but the iPad, the app reads to you.
I still don't care. I don't want to do it.
She won't watch the service online.
I won't. I'm truthfully told. If we have a... Okay, one, let me correct myself. Okay, I've gotten better because I did watch our Sabbath. And the Lord hit me ugly. He hit me ugly.
That's good.
Okay. But, like, for real, it's a discipline before it's a delight. And I got a 39-day streak on my Bible app, and I'm proud to say it.
Okay,
proud.
Because
I'm reading my word every day.
I'm reading. Proud of you.
But, yeah, it is a discipline before it's a delight, because you're going to have to really get yourself rooted in it before you're going to enjoy it. Because then when you don't, like, when Pastor Andrew said, like, when she said something about, like, you know, I was getting my daily encounters and this, and then I missed the day, and I just felt like, oh my gosh, I missed my appointment with the Lord. Like, I needed to make that up.
Yeah. You kind of feel empty when you forget.
Yes, and then you start slipping up, and then you start messing up, and then you're like, bro, why am I messing up? Because you haven't been getting your daily encounters.
You ever watch those TikToks where, like, kind of like, you know, when they're, like, dragging themselves back on the floor, they're like,
there's that one video that's like, it goes to the old song. I forgot what it's called. I think it might be by, what's his name? Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
And it's like,
and it's like you're dragging yourself back. Yeah, that's what you're right. It feels like that when you don't get in your word, or you don't worship Him, or you don't have that encounter with, you know, your daily encounter where you're just talking to Him.
Missing. Like, there's a broken piece in my heart.
It's like you forgot about your best friend, and you didn't get to talk to your best friend, and you're like,
it's your best friend.
He is.
Like, and he's just waiting on you, like, he's like, okay, when are you gonna get in your word?
But he's so gracious, because he's like, I still love you. I don't hate you. You're not a horrible person. Like, I understand. But, like, don't forget, I come first. And when I come first, everything else is gonna work out perfect. It's so true, honestly.
But I think a lot of people are like, well, where did God go? Well, He never left.
Bro, He doesn't.
He stays right there. We're the ones that we drift off. We go left, or we go right, and He stays in the middle. But He's such a great Father that He's going to stand and wait until you're ready to come back. He doesn't force you to...
He's such a gentleman.
Yeah, to come back, or you need to do this. He doesn't throw the hammer out.
Very patient.
I think a lot of people... We actually talked about it in our girl groups class. And
you got to think about it.
Like, you have to show these people that come into church love.
Yes.
You have to love like Jesus. Because if you go over there... And you come to them, and it's a hospital. You're coming into a hospital. And when you go to a hospital, you don't want to get beat up by these doctors and nurses, because you already got beat up at home. You want to be loved. And when you walk into the church, you don't want to be like, you did this, and that's wrong, and this is wrong. Because, you know, people hear that at home.
Yeah.
They want to feel that love. And I think that's where some people start straddling the fence. Is because they're like, well, if I'm not getting love here, and I'm definitely not getting love at the church, then guess where I'm going to go get love at?
Well, let's be honest. We had an incident recently where we had somebody come around us, and it just seemed like you can be loving to them, but you don't know what they're going through. And then they walk into this place, and you just want them to, like, know, like, this is love. Like, we love you.
Yeah. And, no matter
like,
what.
But you never know, like, what they're thinking. Because imagine walking into some place and you don't know. And everybody's just like, what are you doing here? Like, who are you? Like, you don't belong here.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I just... That one kind of hits personal to me because I'm just like, I feel like, at least, you should not judge anybody because you really don't know the struggles they're going through. You don't know how hard their lives have been. And, like, you, I feel like you are to represent Christ everywhere you go. Everything you do, you should do unto Him. And if you're not loving others...
You should just love like God. Because God is love.
Yeah.
I think you should love every day. It doesn't matter if that person... What did we learn when we went to our classes with Diane? Was it sand people? Sandpaper people? Like
They just rub you the wrong way.
You
still gotta love them. Ugly.
Yeah, you still gotta love them. Like, you still gotta show them love. And you still gotta be there for them. And, you know, and maybe if, let's say you can't love or you can't do that, then you need to ask the Lord, Lord, soften my heart.
Yeah.
Let me love them. I want to love them like you would love them when they walked in this room.
I think another thing, too, if you are wanting to love the sand people, that's what she called it,
right? I like it, the sandpaper people.
Sandpaper people.
I think,
love it.
Sandpaper people.
You got to pray for them. Like, because once you start praying for them and wanting the Lord to, like, work in their life, it shifts your heart. To love.
Yeah. Because it goes the same thing Savannah says. You don't know what these people have been through and what they're going through.
Yeah.
A lot of people assume that they know what they're going through when we don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
You know?
It says 1 Corinthians 13 verse 2. It says, if I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. And I feel like that is so true. Like, I can do all this, I can do all that, I can say this, and it moves. But if I don't love you, what am I? Because, let's be honest, like, the main thing that the Lord is love.
Yeah.
He is the whole definition of what love is. He gave up His life because He loved people that did not deserve it.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't know how this even came out to be. Like,
yeah, it's okay.
But I think it's because, like, when people don't get love from the church,
when people represent Jesus wrong.
Yes. When they where do people go after that? They go back to the world because guess what? That liquor bottle showed them love.
Yeah.
Those so-called friends they think shows them love. That TV show might have showed them love.
Relationship.
The relationship, that bad, horrible relationship.
Toxic relationship.
Showed, they thought that that's what love is. Because they're like, if the people at church are acting this way, well then guess what? It's the same way as the world
and
because they're not loving like the Lord.
And then they're back in that in between of, I love the Lord, but I don't love the church.
Exactly. And there we go. See?
There we go. Sorry, guys. We're back to the main point of this podcast episode.
Mic drop.
There you go. We're back to the whole... together, guys.
It did a whole circle, and I like that.
We kind of went everywhere, but it came together.
But see, I like... This is the reason why I love these ladies, and I'm going to say this, is that the Lord's given the vision to me.
I ain't crying. I'm just kidding.
The Lord, right? I love these. But the Lord's given the vision with these beautiful ladies here. And just to be able to talk about the Lord with them. Sometimes we're going to get off track. But it's so good to show people that, yes, we make mistakes. We've done things that
we stopped talking for 5 days.
We stopped talking for half a year. Yeah,
5 months.
Good time.
But
close.
But we keep it so real. And we don't sugarcoat things. And we want to always keep the gospel of the Lord. We want to keep His word so real and true. We never want to water it down. And I feel like these times when we get out of hand and we're like, the Lord just starts speaking to us. And we're like, doop, 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 doop. But it comes back in full circle, as you would see.
It might sound a little everywhere, but it's going to come back. Don't worry. We're going to get you back to the main point.
Just follow us.
We just want you to have
just this. Listen.
We just want you to enjoy this crazy ride and just following the Lord with us. And
yes.
Just being. I don't know. I don't know what else to say to go with this, but yeah.
I feel like we're coming to kind of close to an end.
Yeah.
Close to a close. But like,
yeah.
I feel like if you're in the in-between, it's not the end of the world. Don't feel like it's the end of the world. Don't feel like you're this failure. It's going to happen. But know that you have the authority to tell it to go. And know that you are still a child of God. You're not a failure. You're not this person that is horrible. It's going to go to hell. Like, the Lord loves you, and the Lord knows you, and He knows your heart. And you just got to discipline yourself to get better, is what I'm getting out of this.
I like that. And I can just piggyback off of Savannah. Can I tell you that everybody goes through it?
Yeah.
And there's no secret society. There's nothing like everybody's perfect. No one's perfect. We're all going to go through it. And there may be a moment in time that us girls might go through it next month.
Or, hey, I'm going to rebuke that, though. But
there are going to be times where we're going to be like, Lord, the prayers didn't answer. Where are you at? There's going to be times where we will be in a vulnerable stage because we're human.
But surround yourself with the people that are going to lift you up and not bring you back.
Yes, because you have to speak life over yourself. And you always have to remember, you speak life and things are going to come right with it.
Not in your timing, but it'll come.
In God's timing. His timing is the best timing.
True that, bro. True that. I will say that.
His thoughts are the best thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, His ways are the best ways. And we always have to remember that. That it is all... He just does some crazy, amazing things that I think we've seen just going through this journey of doing this.
Yeah.
And being in awe with Him. Being in awe with God, because we know it's God. Because we... could never do what we're doing now, or even just
speaking. Yeah, I would never, ever, ever do a podcast. Never. Like, that's just not me. I don't like the attention. I don't like being in the public eye. I just want to be low key. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, same.
Make things happen. Crazy.
Can I tell y'all something before we end the podcast on our in between? It was something that the Lord had put on my heart, and whatchamacallit. He had given me, like, it's kind of this reminder, and it's a really sweet reminder, and maybe somebody out there needs to hear it, that they just need it right now. And what happened was, I work at a preschool, and I get to work with these amazing two-year-old kids, and we have chapel time on Tuesday, right? So we're going doing chapel time, and at the end, the pastor, he sings, God is so good. God is so good. So he sings it, right? So you're thinking two-year-olds got like a short extension. They're not listening. And we go into the classroom, right? And this is where the Lord, he comes and he just shows me this and how beautiful this is. But we go in and we have to do snack time. You know, kids are hungry. They're two and they're getting a little hangry. And I can hear chaos behind me, right? I hear them talking and they're blabbering. They're doing their thing, right? And I turn around and get these napkins. And the little girl that's sitting there, she starts singing, God is so good.
Aww.
And she's singing it. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. So when she sings it, everything gets silent. The chaos stops. There's no yelling. There's no trying to grab over the table. Everything got at peace. All the kids just stopped and just looked at her. And God was reminding me, even when the storm happens and the chaos is going on and the waves are so loud you can't hear anything in that storm because just everything is all over the place, sometimes you just got to be with God and have that faith like a child and just sing, God is so good.
Yeah.
And just watch the storm kind of just lift up a little bit. But that's all I want to say, that if you're going through that storm, just remember how good He is. And the stuff that He's already ahead, that He's already walked ahead of you, and that He's already figured out situations. And even though you don't see it, it is going to come to pass. It's going to be here. But that's all I have to say on that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to close it out, Savannah?
Sure. All right, guys. So... we are just three girls loving Jesus. I hope y'all have a blessed week.
Yes.
And my name is Savannah.
My name is Nikki.
And my name is Evelyn.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.